Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Quite a bit to get to this week, folks, as we have just learned that there are yet more allegations being levied against Vince McMahon for apparently paying hush money to employees to keep quiet about affairs or sexual relationships. So let's jump into that first. First and foremost, let me say this. I'm not defending Vince McMahon. I'm just trying to tell the absolute truth as far as the legalities of some of this stuff. It is not illegal to have an affair on your wife. It may be immoral. It may be something you frown upon or look down on or choose to vilify somebody for. It is not illegal. Now, I'll tell you what should be illegal. It should be illegal to say, I'm telling the public unless you pay me. Because that's called blackmail, and that is illegal. Okay? I don't care if they offer you the money first. Blackmailing someone, I have a secret. We had a consensual relationship. However, I could ruin your reputation if I go to the press about this, and I think I might just go to the press about this. How much is it worth to you for me not to go to the press about this? That should be illegal. Because if it isn't, then what's the incentive? Let's say you join the WWE as a wrestler or a worker. And you say, I bet you I could flirt around with him and get him to make some advances on me or maybe even sleep with him. And the minute I do, I'm a millionaire. I'm not saying every woman did this. I'm not saying any of these women did. What I am saying is it's a viable option. You could do it. You could do it. And when you're a multi-millionaire, it happens. Sorry, but it does. See, if you're really feeling horrible about something because something terrible happened, such as Vince McMahon said to me, you're going to be fired unless you sleep with me. You then go to the police. You then go to the press. You then go to the media. You then go to the newspapers and everybody else you can possibly go to and say, this is the way this company's doing business. You don't say how much for me to keep quiet. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for that. I'm sorry. If there was one allegation, one, where a woman said, hey, second week I was there, Vince McMahon basically told me if you don't sleep with me, you're fired. I got up and walked the hell out, and I went straight to the press. I'd say, all right, rah-rah on that woman. Good for blowing the whistle on the old bastard. That's not the way you conduct business, and that's not the way you treat human beings. But when I hear, well, I was a wrestler, and we were negotiating my contract, and he talked me into letting him have oral sex with me. He talked you into that? And then my contract didn't come out quite the way I wanted, so then me and my lawyer got together, and we had a meeting about how much money I was going to get to keep quiet. You were a blackmailer. That's what you are. Who said, hell, what the hell? If this is going to get me a big fat contract, I'll let the old guy go down on me, right? And then when it didn't work out to your advantage, you say, okay, well, then I'm suing and I'm still going to get rich. That's called an opportunist. I don't have sympathy for you. Too bad. Let's say the situation was reversed. Or let's just say that Vince McMahon was a homosexual. And I started working there. And he said, oh, well, if you don't let me do X, Y, and Z to you, you're fired. I get up that minute and say, no need to fire me. I quit, and I'm going to the police. And I'm going to the press, and I'm going everywhere that you can possibly get me to go. And your money ain't stopping me because I don't get paid off if I'm that insulted, right? You can't talk to me that way unless you pay me. Then you can talk to me that way. No, no, that's not the way life works, folks. So these new allegations can be what they want to be. There is one allegation, one, that I'm taking seriously until I hear more, and that is the first female referee who claims Vince McMahon forced himself sexually upon her, period. She didn't take money from him that I know. She didn't say, I'll be quiet if you give me millions of dollars that I know of. She simply didn't tell her story for a while. Now she apparently is. This I'm willing to listen to. I'm not willing to listen to a wrestler who says, well, he coerced me into letting him have oral sex with me. No, nobody coerces you into that. What do you mean he coerced you into that? Who coerces you into that if you don't want to do it? How does that conversation go? You mean he bribed you? That's technically what you're saying. He bribed you. Your contract might go better. Oh, boy, my contract might go better. How quick can I get my pants off? I'm sorry. I'm not sympathetic to that. You call me anything you want. How about a little personal responsibility? If you're not interested, you say, no, I'm not interested. You're not interested in me as a talent, and you don't feel that my talent is worthy of a contract, I'll take my business elsewhere. But don't expect me to be doing sexual favors for a contract because I'm not a prostitute. When you take the money, then you are. Simple as that. I know I'm going to get a bunch of heat for this. I already know. And I don't care. Because I'm telling you, I've always said I'm going to tell it like I see it. You don't like it, you don't have to like it. But I'm tired of these other snowflake wrestling podcasts saying, ah, Vince McMahon is a horrible human being. And these poor women that all got rich off having a tryst with him are victims. Oh, they're victims, are they? While they're all getting millions of dollars of hush money, those are victims? Those are blackmailers. And by the way, none of them said they were forced, except the one referee, which I said I am willing to listen to that. Every other one said, well, I was kind of coerced. I don't want to talk about coerced. Coerced means I willingly did it after a little bit of talking. Well, then I guess every guy, when he has his first sexual experience, coerced his girlfriend, right? Because you always get that, right? I don't really want to. Oh, come on, honey. Not right now. Come on. Well, you're coerced then. Come on. You're coerced. You saw dollar signs and you did it. Now, as far as the rest of them, they just had affairs with them. And then, whether they were going to go to the press with it or not, maybe a lot of them weren't. You see, we don't know that. Maybe one or two of them that had a legitimate affair with him understood he's really estranged from his wife. They're not really together. So maybe this is going to, maybe I'm going to be the future of Mrs. Vince McMahon, or maybe this is going to be a lasting relationship. Maybe they were in love. And then they broke up. And Vince McMahon says, listen, for the good of the business, I really would not like this to get out that we were having a 2-year affair or 3-year affair, whatever. It's not good for my business. And you say, well, I'm not going to say anything. You know, we had a relationship. It didn't work out. Well, just to make sure, I want you to sign this agreement and I'll give you some money. Okay, well, whatever. But when people say, I got my lawyer, and we sat down to negotiate how much it was worth for me to keep quiet, that he asked me if he could go down on me, and I got coerced into letting him. Well, you're a blackmailer, and worse, you're a prostitute. Simple as that. Sorry if that sounds harsh, folks, but I'm a little tired of this nonsense now. A little bit of personal responsibility. You're not 11, okay? You're a professional wrestler, or you're a business executive, or you're in a very large company where you have a high-ranking position in that company. You're not a dummy. You're not some girl out of high school saying, gee, I don't know. I had a couple drinks. No, you're not that person. So let's get that out of our mind. You're not the high school kid at the prom. You're grown women in your 40s. You understand who you want to have a relationship with, right? We're the victims. We should be treated differently. I thought you wanted to be treated the same. I could see Vince McMahon being the victim. How come he has to shell out millions of dollars to you to keep quiet on something that you wanted to do? Can't be a decent person and say, well, I'm not going to tell anybody anyway. We had a relationship. Well, we both liked each other. We had fun. It didn't work out. I understand I got to keep quiet because of your business. Or if you're one of those people that say, well, how much is my contract going to be? Will it be more if I drop the trow here and let you go down on me? Well, what the hell is that? That's not a prostitute. I don't know where this is going to leave Vince McMahon. I know this. I'm tired of there being an unequal, and yes, you heard me say it, inequality when it comes to this. While Vince McMahon is being vilified, if this was a woman CEO and a man had an affair with her and she paid him, you would hear, well, come on. That guy was probably out for the money. He knew what he was doing. He was probably a shark in the water. He probably hit on her every day hoping she'd take the bait. And when she did, he said, open up your wallet, honey. Otherwise, I'm going to the press. That's what would be said. But we are expected that these 40-some-odd-year-old women are little shrinking violets just out of junior high school going, I don't know if I want to do anything. Please, spare me the nonsense. Mike, what's your thoughts on this? Because it looks like this is a very concentrated effort to just take Vince McMahon down.
Right. And let's put the shoe on the other foot. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that it was Linda. And it was a 40-year-old male person, right?
Yeah.
Then what?
Then exactly what I said. They would say he did it on purpose.
Yep. And then we're talking about being coerced. Isn't that the same thing that the woman that went after Riddle said about him, that he coerced her to go down on him?
Absolutely. And I'm sick of this word coercion. Coercion is just you talk me into it. So if Mike says to me, how about you and me rob a bank, Marcus? And I say, nah, I don't want to rob a bank, Mike. Oh, come on. Nah. I think it's a really easy bank to rob, and I know the day that it's closed, and I know how to get in there. Yeah, but what if we get in trouble? You don't get in trouble. You just drive the car. I'll go in. Okay. Guess what? If I get caught, I can't say Mike coerced me into it. I didn't want to do it. You know what the DA is going to say? Ah, come on. So I'm tired of that nonsense. And I'm tired of people having to pussyfoot around and not say the actual truth as it is. Tired of it. I don't know if this is going to hurt Vince McMahon. But I know this. if you had an inappropriate sexual relationship with somebody, they shouldn't take money to make it go away. I said that from the very beginning when we had this big Michael Jackson thing. Oh, Michael Jackson inappropriately touched my son. Well, how about if we give you $1 million? No. You touched my son inappropriately. $2 million? No. $5 million? He's got a brother. I mean, at what point do you say, wait a minute, I think you're just in this for the money? Because no amount of money would get me to drop charges on a guy who molested my son. You could give me $100 zillion. I'm not doing it. You're going to jail. And no amount of money is going to keep my mouth shut if somebody literally forces themselves on me sexually. But they never really say that. Oh, I was coerced. No, you were bribed. Oh, your contract might go better. Oh, really? How much better? This much better? Oh, well, okay. Let me get my clothes off. Oh, it didn't go as good as I thought it was going to go? Oh, well, I'm suing you. Kind of like a prostitute saying I was raped. How do you know you were raped? Well, the check bounced. I know that sounds harsh, folks. And I do have sympathy for any woman who is absolutely set upon predatorily by a man against her will. But you have to understand what the word against your will means. Against your will means I said no, and he said, too bad, honey. He's stronger than me. He pushed me down on the bed. I'm trying to get up. He won't let me up. And then he said, if you tell anybody, you're fired. That is called rape. Or if you didn't have actual sexual intercourse, it's called at least sexual assault. It is not the same thing as saying, well, he talked me into it. Well, if he talked you into it, you did it voluntarily. I had a 3-year relationship with him. Well, I guess it must have been horrible then. If it went on for 3 years, it just must have been misery every day, right? Coming to work every day, being sexually assaulted every day. Please. Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. So I don't know, Todd. This doesn't look good, though. You know, there's this concentrated effort, I think, to get Vince McMahon out of the picture.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, you know, like you said, if he did it, he should pay the consequences if he did it or not. Like you said, if he didn't do it, drop it. Just drop everything.
If that referee, if that female referee has proof that she said no and Vince McMahon forced himself on her, Vince McMahon needs to go to jail. Not just step down as CEO, he needs to go to jail. That's sexual assault. He's no better than me. If I did that, I'd go to jail. So he needs to go to jail too if that happened. But I'm saying if it happened. But don't give me this, well, I got coerced into doing it because I'm such a dumb little girl. When you're 40 years old and you got a high profile $200,000 a year job, don't give me that bullshit. Now let's go to another dummy. Jordan Grace. Big dummy. Can't keep her mouth shut. Knows nothing about the business, obviously. Jordan Grace gets on her Twitter and says, you know, I know all the Chris Benoit deniers are going to jump down my throat. Because anytime you say anything negative about his wrestling, they jump down your throat. But Chris Benoit couldn't hang with any of the wrestlers of today. He wouldn't have the ability to do these matches and remember these matches and things. He couldn't hang with us. And by the way, let him burn in hell. Well, here's number one. Two things can be true at the same time, Jordan. I don't know if they taught you that in school. I don't know if you went. Two things can be true at the same time. Chris Benoit can be a murderer, which is very possible that he is. But that murderer could also be a really good professional wrestler because that's the way life works. Okay? If you win a gold medal in the Olympics and you also rob a bank, you don't say, well, that gold medal doesn't count and he never really was any good at it. No, two things can be true. You're a bank robber and you won a gold medal. You're a really good pole vaulter. You're just a crook. For any idiot to say that Chris Benoit could not hang with wrestlers today, Chris Benoit would put wrestlers today under the goddamn table. They couldn't hang with him. I'm not defending what Chris Benoit done. I'm telling you the truth. And luckily, someone who's not a dummy, Gail Kim, said that, wrote back and said, well, I'm not going to defend Chris Benoit outside the ring. But to say he could not hang with wrestlers today is ludicrous. It is ludicrous, and it shows you do not understand the business. And then Jordan Grace writes, see, I told you. I told you Chris Benoit defenders would come. Yeah, because what you said is wrong. What you said is idiotic. When you say something idiotic, nobody's defending what he did. See, you don't have the ability to separate it. You don't have the cognitive skills to say, horrible human being, whatever the hell happened in that house, whether it be he did it, he didn't do it, he did it because of a brain damage or whatever the hell it happened to be. That aside, when he wasn't doing that, he was a very gifted professional wrestler. You can't do that. You see, modern society does not allow that. So I guess we should take all the gold records away from Elvis because he slept with a 13-year-old girl when he was in his 20s, married her. So those gold records shouldn't count. He didn't sell that many records. He wasn't a major star. Who are you kidding? He couldn't hang today with the singers of today. Please. Please. But this goes to show you what I have said since I started the show, and that is modern day wrestlers, the people who are coming up in the business now, don't get it. They have a ridiculous mindset that thinks if you defend the actual skill of Chris Benoit as a professional wrestler, you are defending what he did to his family. It shows a lack of understanding, Mike, that's really kind of prominent here in pro wrestling lately.
Absolutely. And think of it this way, okay? Okay, we've heard about the rumors about Moolah, right? And what she did away from the ring and all that stuff, but that still doesn't take away that the fact that for a very long time she was the best ladies wrestler in the world for a very, very long time, right? Yeah. It doesn't take away the fact that she was just that doggone good that nobody could touch her. That she held the WWE women's title for how long?
Long time. But I'm glad you brought that up, Mike, because if Jordan Grace really wants to make a comparison, female wrestlers back then probably couldn't hang with the women today. That's probably true. And you know why that's true? Because it was totally different. Today it's a lot more fast-paced, and there's a lot more flippity-floppity stuff that those women never did. So if you want to go back to the 50s, Joyce Grable is probably not hanging with, somebody like, I don't know, Charlotte Flair or Asuka. That's probably true. But if you think Chris Benoit couldn't handle some of the guys coming up in the business today, how much of this business do you understand? I mean, that's sad. You should understand more than me. You've been in it a lot longer than me, and you've accomplished a lot more than me in it. So I shouldn't really have to tell you that. That's what bothers me. When wrestlers have this kind of mindset, now, thankfully, Gail Kim said the quiet part out loud and said, look, two things can be simultaneously true. Nobody's defending his actions. They're defending his skill as a wrestler. You can't take that away. No, well, George Washington should be wiped off the map as the first president. Everybody stop learning that in school because he owned slaves, and so he's canceled. He's done. He's finished. He was not the first president. You can't do that, folks. You don't have to be perfect, a perfect person. You only have to be a good person. Jeffrey Dahmer is obviously not a good person. Okay? Jeffrey Dahmer was obviously not a good person. If Jeffrey Dahmer won a gold medal in downhill skiing, you can't take it away from him. He did it. You don't have to celebrate it, but you can't erase it either. And you can't go back and say, well, today's skiers, he'd get blown off the face. Yeah. I got news for you, Jordan. You couldn't hang with half of the women today, let alone yesterday. Because you got no stamina. And marginal body control. So please, let's not act like you're the second coming of I don't know who. Absolutely unbelievable. Todd, not taking anything or defending anything Chris Benoit did or may have did outside this ring, Chris Benoit could certainly hang with any professional wrestler currently lacing up their boots today.
I'm absolutely right there. Like you said, with Chris Benoit, if he was still alive today, I think he would be still hanging with the younger talent in the ring and putting him over. Like you said, we can't prove he actually killed his family. We can't actually prove that, actually.
Well, I mean, they convicted him, kind of, in the public opinion, and murder-suicide, so I guess that it's official. But no, I mean, there are some questions. I'm not a denier of it. If he did it, he did it. But it still does not take away what he did in the ring. So let's not undermine him because, oh, it's popular. He's a bad guy for what he did outside the ring. Let's make pretend he wasn't any good in the ring, too. No, that's not the way it works, Jordan. Welcome to the real world. Speaking of the real world, Sasha Banks and Naomi reportedly gone from the WWE. Now, this story has been going on for I don't know how long. I remember a month ago when Derek in the chat room was saying it's official, and it wasn't official. And I said at the time, I don't think it is, Derek, and it wasn't. And I remember I told you I had two sources, one telling me it was official, one telling me no, it wasn't. No, it's not. Hold on. They're still trying to work things out. Well, I don't think they've worked things out. Because both of those people now have listed on their resumes professional wrestler, not WWE superstar. Now, this has changed recently because up till recently they had WWE superstar. So what I'm hearing now internally is there is no plans to bring either one of them back in the near future. Doesn't mean it won't happen. Doesn't mean that 6 months down the road they may change their mind. Even 2 months down the road they may change their mind. But for right now, there are no plans to bring either one of them back, and they have officially changed that part of their resume to simply read professional wrestler. Now, let's talk about whether they deserve this or not. Because I know a lot of people are on Team Sasha, Team Naomi. Once again, you signed a contract. Your contract clearly states that you'll do your job to the best of your ability in for remuneration of a certain amount of money. When you're told by the person in charge, this is what I want you to do, that's what you do. Okay? If you're on a baseball team, and you're the starting first baseman, and they say, we want you to designate hit for a week because we're bringing this other guy up, and we want to try him out at first base. You don't get to say, yeah, no, I'm not doing it. I'll just go home. You'll be released from that ball club that day. That day, you'll be released, and they'll say you're in violation of your contract. We don't have to pay you. Those are not decisions you get to make. I don't know what world people live in when they think, I agree to work for you. You agree to pay me, but I only do what I want to do. If I don't want to work the drive-through window at Wendy's today, I don't want to work it. I'll clean the tables. Don't tell me to work the drive-through. See how long that lasts. Well, you hired me to paint your house. I don't feel like painting today. I'll mow your lawn. Well, I really don't need my lawn mowed. Well, that's what I'm doing, and you're paying me. Doesn't work that way. Now, Sasha Banks and Naomi could have both said, here's the deal. I'm going to go out there tonight, and I'm going to do what you asked me to do. But don't book me for anything else. I'm violating my contract. But I'm not doing this. You have a right to quit your job. You have an absolute right to quit your job. What you don't have the right to do is continue to be paid for it. And what you don't have the right to do is walk out in the middle of it because you don't like something. The way I was raised is this. If you took the money, do the job. If you can no longer do the job, finish the day, look the boss in the eye, and tell him, I'm done. Finish your day. Neither one of them did it. Now, you can say no, Naomi was coerced, but let's go right back to that word coerced again. What does coerced mean? So Sasha Banks says, we're being treated horribly. We shouldn't have to do this. You shouldn't have to be fighting for the championship belt. We're a tag team. We should have better tag teams coming in here. Let's you and I walk out. We're so important to this company. They'll come begging. Vince McMahon will come crawling on his hands and knees saying, please, please come back. And Naomi's like, okay, that sounds good. Well, then you're an idiot and you deserve to be fired. Simple as that. Because if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, yeah, that don't sound right. I think I'm just going to go do my match. You do what you do you. You want to walk out the door, go ahead. I'm going to do my match. Then I'm going to go back. I'm going to look Vince McMahon in the eye and say, don't book me past here. I'm not happy with my position. I really don't want to work for this company anymore. If you don't want to give me my release, I'll just sit my time out. At least that's advance notice. At least you get an opportunity. If you're the boss to say, okay, I can't count on this person. There were people who paid to see you that night. There were fans who came in that arena thinking, well, we're going to see Sasha and Naomi, and they didn't see Sasha and Naomi. So don't tell me, it's all about my fans. No, it's not about your fans. Or you would have said, I'm going to go out there and do it for the people who bought a ticket. I'm going to go out there and do it for the people who's wearing my T-shirt tonight. I ain't doing it past this time, though, so don't advertise. That's what you do. They didn't do it, Mike, as far as I'm concerned. If they don't bring either one of them back, they don't.
Yeah, if they would have done it, and then you know, Vince has had a habit of when people come and tell him exactly what you said, you know, that he'll say, okay, you can go home. I'm gonna allow you to go home, but I'm not gonna pay you, and your contract doesn't end until you come back and finish it. That's what he's done, you know, to several people. Yeah, you know, so. So, you know, yeah, but again, yeah, you're right. And you know, I don't want to say I feel for Naomi, but this was her first strike. And
I'm going for a ride.
Yeah, this was her first strike. Now, would we put it past the WWE to say, all right, Naomi, within, I guess it's a 90-day no-compete clause or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't put it past the WWE that coming down to that 90 days, they come back to Naomi and they say, we're going to bring you back because they know Naomi would probably end up in AEW. They know that because she's that good of an athlete, right? And she was.
Well, Naomi has some inroads, you know, that's in her favor. Naomi has some people who might go to bat for her, some very important people. So she has a better chance than Sasha. But Sasha's been a prima donna since day one. Sasha's taken her ball and went home on a couple of occasions. And she's been injury prone. We all remember that story of them lying on their backs backstage at WrestleMania after losing their tag team championships in protest or whatever, her and Bayley. I mean, come on. Come on. It's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, I had a conversation with the Sandman once. And during that conversation, another guy was there, and he said, you know, I like it better when you were the champion and who the current champion was, and are you satisfied not being the champion? And he looked him dead in the eye and said, if you're a wrestler, you shouldn't even care. The fans care about who the champion is, but the wrestler shouldn't. Who the hell cares? You didn't really win it. As long as I'm getting paid, I don't care who has the belt. You care who has the belt because you're a fan. We don't care who has the belt. Well, that's changed now. Suddenly it's, no, I want to be the big cheese. It's almost like you're cosplaying a professional wrestler. And I never thought I would say this because I think in the history of him being a professional wrestler and a podcaster, I've only agreed with Bully Ray or Bubba Ray Dudley about twice. But I want to agree with him on something he said about Liv Morgan. He said she has a lot of potential. The fans love her. There's no question they love her. But every time I see her, I think she is almost like somebody who's cosplaying a professional wrestler instead of being a professional wrestler. He's absolutely correct. He is 1,000% correct. He hit the nail on the head, home run. That's exactly what I see. I did not articulate it. I couldn't put my finger on exactly what it was about Liv Morgan that's not, I'm just not impressed by. She's definitely, you know, she's got a future. But right now, I was like, what is it that I just don't feel that the other people are feeling? And Bubba Ray hit the nail on the head. She feels like she's just pretending to be a wrestler, that she's not a wrestler. She's just saying, it's almost like just a generic, let me say the right thing, let me set up for my move. You can almost see her setting up for her moves. It doesn't flow smooth. Her delivery on her promos doesn't seem natural. It seems like you're playing at this. This is what I grew up watching, so I'll just copy it, instead of being you. I think you hit the nail on the head. Mike, that's my main problem here with, I think, Liv Morgan.
Right. That was basically our main problem with Ronda Rousey in her first run. She was cosplaying a professional wrestler. Now, in this run right now, she is a professional wrestler.
Yep.
All right.
And that's why I think Liv Morgan can be.
Yeah.
She'll do it eventually, Mike. It's just right now I don't see it.
Yeah, she'll do it. I mean, look, we've said it about the three people that were in the Riot Squad. You know, she of the three people that were there, she was number three. Right? It was Ruby Soho now, Sarah Logan,
yep.
and her. Those were the three.
You know, I really did feel that way, but here's the thing. You're right. We said she was the third one. Ruby Riott, I said, was the best technical professional wrestler out of the three. Liv Morgan was obviously the most attractive and the sex symbol one out of the three. Sarah Logan, though, was the most natural. I watched Ruby Riott fight or wrestle, and I'd say, yeah, she's a good wrestler. She's doing all her moves right. Everything's good. She doesn't hesitate. She's very confident. Has a unique look, so that's good. Has a unique sort of delivery with her promos. That's good. She's definitely the best professional wrestler. But when I saw Sarah Logan fight, I said, it really looks like she's fighting. I mean, that's the only thing I can say, is that a lot of these matches look like, well, we're dancing. You know the dance, and I know the dance, and that's what we're doing. We're not really fighting. We're not really trying to win. We're trying to do dance moves and show off our skill. Sarah Logan looked like she was fighting you. And I said, that's what I like. I'm sorry. That's what I like out of professional wrestling. When it looks like you're fighting, that's what I want to see. And Sarah Logan looked like she was fighting. So that's why I like Sarah Logan. Now, Liv Morgan, when she was doing that crazy Harley Quinn thing, clear she wasn't the best worker. It was clear she was very green. But she didn't really have to say much. And with her looks and the way she was acting psychotically like that, she looked dangerous. She looked like somebody that you would literally say, yeah, that's a psycho girl that you want to stay quite a bit away from. She got robbed of that because they kind of gave that over to Alexa Bliss. But, yeah, she was our third choice. And now she's the champion. And you got to say to yourself, if you saw Liv Morgan as champion, you didn't see Ruby Riott or Sarah Logan? Because those are people, Todd, that we thought were better, actually, in the long run.
I think you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Liv Morgan and everything, and Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan. Ruby Riott, she gets it. She gets it being the business. So is Liv Morgan. So is Sarah Logan as well.
See, it's a very tough thing. If you tell me, well, we want to do a 20-minute women's match, and it's going to be filled with all kinds of moves and stuff, who do you recommend? I'd say Ruby Riott. If you say, well, we just want to do an out-and-out brawl for like 8 minutes, and I'd say, oh, well, that's Sarah Logan for sure. And if you said, well, we just want to draw people into the arena, probably Liv Morgan. So it's unique that each one of them has their own, you know, they're good at something. But I think Bully Ray hit the nail on the head. She does feel to me like she's cosplaying being a professional wrestler. And Mike hit the nail on the head when he said that's what Ronda Rousey used to do. That's absolutely correct. That's why I didn't like Ronda Rousey the first run. It's like, well, I'm mimicking what I see. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of mimicking what I see. Okay, well, now she doesn't do that no more. So, yeah, she's achieved that. I'm waiting for Liv Morgan to achieve that. When Liv Morgan achieves that, she will be somebody. I'm not putting Liv Morgan down in any way, shape, or form. I think this was rushed. I think the WWE wanted to give the fans what they thought the fans wanted, and they probably did want. But now that you got it, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be short-lived, and the fans are going to be pissed at you. I would rather wait it until you said, well, when we put this belt on Liv Morgan, and we're going to at some point, she's going to have a 6-8 month run. Rather than to say, okay, the fans want her, give it to her now, and in 6 weeks we'll take it away from her. Well, then the fans are just going to be pissed at you. And they're going to say, you never gave her a chance. And fans are very fickle, because if you remember, everybody was like, oh, they'll never give Big E a chance at being a champion. They gave him a chance at being the champion, and everybody thought it was the greatest thing in the world for about a month, and then people were like, he's not that good. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I thought he was a great champion. I thought he was a fantastic champion. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, he's like Liv Morgan. You know, you said you liked Big E because you always thought, well, this might be where he loses because he's not like, he never was promoted as being as good as this solo worker or this solo worker. So he was always the underdog champion. Isn't Liv Morgan going to be the underdog champion too? Absolutely, she's going to be the underdog champion. Here's the difference. Big E could deliver. Big E could do a match and make you get up on your feet and say, oh, damn, man, I haven't seen Liv Morgan do that yet. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I haven't seen too many women do that. If you want me to be brutally honest, how many times have you gotten to your feet and said, oh, damn, in a woman's match? Well, maybe Asuka, Charlotte, Becky Lynch once or twice. Am I missing somebody? Bianca Belair, I guess. Some of her athletic stuff is real good, so Bianca Belair. That's about it. About it. In the WWE. So, you know, here we go. I just don't look forward to Liv Morgan versus Natty, Liv Morgan versus Tamina, Liv Morgan versus Nikki Cross, Liv Morgan versus Xia Li, or whatever it's going to be. I don't even know. It doesn't matter. I'm not looking forward to any of those matches. Not that I'd look forward to them if they were with Ronda Rousey. But at least Ronda has that star power of saying, yeah, but we're going to get a rematch with Charlotte or something. We already know what's going to happen. They're going to protect. Here's my, I'll put on my psychic cap. They're going to protect Liv Morgan. Most likely Charlotte will come back. And they'll do some kind of a three-way match. Liv Morgan won't be the one pinned, but Charlotte will be the champion. Simple as that. Because they probably want to set up some kind of a thing with, you know, for WrestleMania or SummerSlam. I don't even know which. Maybe she'll be the champion till SummerSlam. I'll give her that. Maybe they'll bring her into SummerSlam as a champion. But they're going to want to set up something bigger than Liv Morgan at WrestleMania. Sorry, but that's it. Now let's go on to something else because I thought this was funny. I actually saw some fans saying, I don't get Austin Theory. You know, Austin Theory is, if you really want to talk about a young guy who's got all the talent in the world and is, you know, better than his years, that's Sammy Guevara. If you're comparing Sammy Guevara and Austin Theory, I don't know what to say to you. I just don't know what to say to you. It's like, you know, I don't get it then. You can have a favorite wrestler, and if you like Sammy Guevara better than Austin Theory, I get it. But if you don't understand why Austin Theory's in the position that he's in, I don't understand what you're watching. Sammy Guevara's a fantastic athlete and a fantastic wrestler. He's not Austin Theory. Booker T said it right when he said, a guy like Austin Theory comes around once in a short period of time, man. Once in a blue moon, I should say. And here's why. He gets the psychology of it. He gets it. But he's one of those guys that can not only talk that good match and get the fans aggravated, he can deliver the good match. Sammy Guevara can deliver a good match too. But he's not at the same level psychologically in the game as Austin Theory is. He's just not. He just isn't. There's a lot of potential there, folks, whether you hate him or you don't. What I love is people mark out, oh, I hate him. He's got a stupid-looking face, and he takes those stupid selfies. Well, yeah, that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to aggravate you. If you're aggravated by him, he's doing his job. So I don't know, Mike. The people that's comparing him, like, Sammy Guevara I would compare to, like, maybe, I don't know, somebody like Dominic Mysterio, where you say there's a lot of potential going forward, and he's showing real good athleticism, but he needs a little more time in the ring and a little more psychology. Austin Theory already has that, Mike.
Yeah, he already has that, and that's the thing. I mean, there are other guys in AEW that would compare more favorably to Austin Theory, you know? I mean, for God's sake. MJF, you may not like what he did, but MJF, even for, what's his name, that's with Sting right now.
Darby Allin, I don't think Darby Allin, I wouldn't compare that. Darby Allin's okay, but Darby Allin's more of a reckless type guy, and I think he's a one-trick pony. I don't think Darby Allin. Now, MJF, yes, but MJF I don't think has the actual physical skill of Austin Theory. He's a way better on the mic, and he's way better at getting heat, but he doesn't have that. That's what I think Booker T meant when he said you don't get this type of person too much that gets the other part other than the athleticism. Everybody is like all about the athleticism. Well, he has the athleticism. So does Sammy Guevara. But what Sammy Guevara is lacking is the other part. And I don't think people realize how good of a job Theory's actually doing. Because it's a, unless I'm way off, and I don't think I am, what they're trying to present Theory as is a headstrong kid. That's why they keep telling him to say, I'm the youngest ever to do this and that. I'm the youngest. I'm this, that. They're trying to present him as a headstrong kid who is so full of himself because Vince McMahon took him under his wing that he thinks he is 100% impervious to losses. He's 100% bulletproof. He's going to be the top guy, and it doesn't matter what anybody says. But they're telling him, but don't go overboard with the heel stuff. Do just enough heel stuff to be a heel. But we want that baby face underneath because eventually you're going to be it. So don't go too nuts, though. And he's not. He's showing the weaknesses. He's showing the insecurity. Even when he's saying, I'm better than you and I'm this, you can look in his face and see he don't believe it. He's saying it because he thinks that's what Vince McMahon wants to hear and it's making him hopefully believe it. That's a great job of portraying that character. Someone who's in kind of over his head and, you know, struggling to stay above water, so to speak, and confident that I'm the best swimmer in the building. That's what he's doing. He's doing it very well. So, yeah, I would have to say Austin Theory is certainly a couple of years ahead of Sammy Guevara, Todd, as far as the psychology.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Theory here. You know, like you said, he's a pretty talented wrestler. Got the physique, sort of world physique there, but the only thing that bothers me is the mic skills.
Yeah, I think it's better than you think, though. Let me say this, Mike. I know you said Darby Allin, and I know you said MJF, but let me put you on the spot here. Do you think either one of those guys, and let's throw Sammy Guevara in too, do you think Sammy Guevara, MJF, or Darby Allin could have pulled that kind of a match out with Bobby Lashley that Austin Theory did?
Probably not.
That's my point. You know, you're
now,
in there with Lashley.
Now, I'll tell you what, there is another guy, and that's the guy that's with that, Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks is, yes, Ricky Starks does. I don't think he's as young, though. I don't think he's that young. That's why I'm saying, you don't want to talk about a blue chipper. You got a guy who could be there for 20 years. So, yeah, that, you know, I like Sammy Guevara. I like Darby Allin. And I love MJF. But out of those guys, I'd take MJF in a heartbeat over all of them because he's the best talker and he's going to talk fans into the seat. But if you really want me to say who's going to deliver the best match at this point, I'll take Theory. Because I haven't seen a great match out of Bobby Lashley since he's gotten here. And to be honest, I didn't see it when he was over on Impact. Lashley's always does a decent match, kind of the same match, decent. It's not great. Remember when he was fighting Aleister Black? Did Aleister Black pull a great match out of Bobby Lashley? No. Who was pulling great matches out of Bobby Lashley? Almost nobody. Austin Theory pulled a really good match out of Bobby Lashley. And when you're that young and you're pulling great matches out of guys who are veterans, really, of the business, then you got a little something going on. Speaking of a little something going on, I'm sure we'll all be happy to hear this. Pat McAfee signed a multi-year extension with the WWE. This is a very good thing. Because Pat McAfee has put so much life into the WWE announcing, and it needed it, so desperately needed it, that it's night and day. And it's good to see that the WWE, Mike, understands how much life he did breathe into that product and rewarded him with a multi-year extension.
Right, and that's a good idea. Now, granted, if he decides to turn this into a possible run in the ring at some point,
you know, he'd have to give up the commentary. But, I mean,
right.
if he wants to do that. But, again, and one other thing, one of the best things I saw this week on any other wrestling programs is what they did on Wednesday night with Ruby Soho. And they treated her like they would treat a male, like a male wrestler, right? When they had
Chris Jericho
and them slam her arm in the door.
Yep.
That's respect.
Yeah, that's better. This is what I'm saying. There's somebody like Ruby Soho, there's a lot you can do with. I said when they got her, they got a good one. If they treat her right and they do the right thing. WWE didn't do that. They didn't do it with Sarah Logan either. And I'm afraid they're not going to do it with Liv Morgan, even if she has the belt, because sometimes having the belt just doesn't really mean that much in the WWE. Watch how many matches Austin Theory's going to lose because he's got the Money in the Bank briefcase. They're going to say it doesn't matter. You got the Money in the Bank briefcase. You can drop every match. He's going to start dropping matches. So the WWE often does that. It's annoying. It's annoying. But you're right. That was a good spot with Ruby Soho and Chris Jericho. I wish the WWE would do more of that. Because the WWE is really a division, their women's division. While they're very talented, most of them, it feels weak because they don't use them. They use like four of them. So four of them stay strong. And I was very disappointed to hear that Alexa Bliss said, I'd come up with a character, a much, much darker version of the Alexa Bliss character, even remodeling the Lily doll to be darker, pitched it to the WWE, and they kind of said no. I would have loved to have seen that character. I would absolutely have loved to see it. Now, Alexa Bliss said, don't never say never. Could still happen. They don't want to do it right now. But, Mike, that would be something to see. I hope we get to see what her vision was for this, because she claims it was pretty chilling.
I hope so, too. And that would be very interesting. If she takes a thing that was obviously meant for Bray Wyatt, right? That came out of Bray Wyatt and turns it into something that she came up with her in her mind, and she came up with it that's equally as dark as the stuff that Bray Wyatt's done, you know. And she's being very clear. Now, could it be that if they're not going to want to do it, is it they're stifling her creativity? Could be.
Yeah, and I mean, it would be nice because then it would sort of make it her own as opposed to, like you said, it's sort of Bray Wyatt's reworked. If she came up with it and said, well, I want to modify this and modify that, then it's kind of her, you know? So I'd have loved to have seen that. And by the way, she gets it too because she said, I think the acting part of professional wrestling, the stuff you do outside the ring, is equal to, if not greater than, what you do in the ring. And I agree with her 1,000% on that. I'd love to see it, and I hope we do. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat.